7 o'clock, Rise and Shine Pile. Good morning. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. As exciting as Gonzaga UCLA was, last night's game was more like Houston Baylor.
Yeah.
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 Was it a case where Gonzaga was just emotionally tired?
It looked it.
They played flat. But I also think let's not discount how good Baylor was last night.
No, you could tell it was. They were definitely more rested, whether it was physically or emotionally. They had more energy.
I think. Here's my thought. I think Baylor's a quicker team.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Fresher. Absolutely.
And you know, did not have to really break much of a sweat to beat Houston on Saturday. Nor Gonzaga last night to win their first ever NCAA championship. Congratulations to
me,
Scott
for
Drew,
picking
and
Baylor.
Oh, the Baylor Bears. Oh, well, it's okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're right. I was wrong. So we'll have final. Today's not official yet.
Yeah.
Because this has to go through our promotions department before we can make it official. Official. So, you'll be notified if you won. And Jim was in good position last night.
He's in good position to be on the middle podium, I believe. So, and as far as everybody else, I've completely forgotten everything we went through yesterday. So, I'll have to open up the document and see exactly where people are.
So, congratulations to
whoever gets contacted by promotion.
Yeah, whoever gets contacted. We think it's probably Jim, but we're not. But that's not official.
So I think Jim is going to end up taking third because Gonzaga.
Okay, he had the Zags.
Yes.
There
was a tie for second that needed a Baylor win, and so they both tied for. I'm not certain on any of this. I just forgot. Okay, here we go. So Jim was in first place heading into last night. He took Gonzaga. Diane and Josh both took Baylor and leapfrogged Jim in the standings from what I remember. And now we wait on the tiebreaker results that filter through our friends at, I believe, Forecaster Sports and Promotions Department.
Correct.
So they're also our friends, Promotions Department. But
yes,
we have to wait for those the tiebreaker and the whole thing to filter through to figure out who exactly won. But if I'm reading this correctly, unofficial tally has Jim taking home third place.
Okay. And as far as first and second, we're not sure yet.
Well, we know who is one of them and who is the other, but we don't know which one is which.
Which is first and which is second.
We have a tie for first right now.
Okay. So once again, this has to go through our promotions department.
Yes.
And you'll be notified of what you win. But
hopefully this week.
Bracketpalooza brought to you by Point S Tires over here on First Street and Grand Junction Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
And I was wrong about something else yesterday.
Okay. Well, I was wrong about something yesterday too. So it's okay.
When I said that I don't think I could catch you, turns out that was incorrect.
Yeah.
I ended up winning the air quote celebrity bracket. So go me.
Hey, all go you. Yeah, because
from what I was reading is I wouldn't have enough points, but apparently I can't read. So
congratulations.
Yeah. I came in first. You almost got eclipsed by cake. You did the kind of the Gonzaga. You started very early, very hot.
Very strong.
Faltered late. Yeah. So that's okay, though.
Thanks,
second place,
Illinois.
Not bad.
Thanks, Illinois.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And then Katie's pulling up the coups. Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you.
Yes.
I just thought Gonzaga up front with the way Timmy was playing, that'd be too much for for Baylor to handle, but their big guys up front played really well last night. And they neutralized Drew Timmy early on.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while for him to get going. Suggs got into the early foul trouble. That really hurt Mark Few's team last night. And the fact that the Baylor just shot it, they were just lights out from 3-point range. Jared Butler was great last night. It was just, and defensively, they were so much quicker to the ball handler. The Baylor defense was, to me, as much the story of that game and that win last night as what they did from the perimeter. Gonzaga, they just didn't look like they were quick enough to handle them. And that seemed to be the story all night long, that, you know, really for Gonzaga, they had a tough time running their offense last night. They had a tough time getting the ball in early on to Drew Timmy. You know, a lot of their offense is predicated on what he can do inside. And give Baylor a ton of credit last night for what they're able to do. And this, you know, these two teams would have faced each other early in the regular season, but because of COVID situations for Baylor, that game got canceled. And so you got to see number one team Gonzaga against, you know, number one, the final poll of the season, mm-hmm. number one against number two last night. Number two was much, much better. I mean,
I think Baylor's
got to so many of the 50-50 balls, and the offensive rebounding early on was just decidedly mm-hmm. in their favor last night.
And Baylor, didn't they ended up having like 10 or 11 wins over ranked teams from the final regular season poll. They beat a lot of teams that were pretty decent teams this year.
And so did Gonzaga, though, early on in their non-conference, and that's one of the reasons I liked them to go and do something that hasn't happened since 1976. But they got great effort. Vital last night. Mark Vital played great last night. He only had 6 points, but he had 11 rebounds. He set the tone early on for Baylor up front. I mean, none of their big guys, you know, Thamba, Vital is only like 6'5", 6'6". He plays in the post, but he's not a post player. I mean, he had the difficult task of trying to slow down Drew Timmy last night. And, you know, but Jared Butler was sensational again. 22 points. He was the tournament's most outstanding player.
Mm-hmm.
And their front line matched up. You know, Macy Oteague had 19, but it was the front line. Or if you look at the numbers, you're going, okay, Thamba had 3 points. It wasn't overwhelmingly impressive from an offensive standpoint.
Right.
Vital only had 6. But Vital had 11 rebounds last night. That's a big number. And it gave them a lot of extra possessions. They were great on the offensive glass last night.
Most of them were offensive rebounds. Yeah, you know, and that's second chance opportunities. And Baylor's good enough. They don't need second chance opportunity, but when you give them so many more chances, they had 16 offensive rebounds to Gonzaga's, what, 5? That's a ridiculous amount of extra possessions. That's 11 more offensive rebounds. They won by 16 points. There's a correlation there somewhere.
And you get the feeling, you know, in the first half, they got it down to 10 at halftime, and you're going, okay.
That was a big hole early.
It was, and they expended a lot of energy to dig themselves
just
out of the hole.
Just to get to 10.
Just to get, yeah, within
yeah.
striking distance at halftime. And Baylor said no. They just went out and put their foot down in the second half.
Yeah.
And they get the 16-point win last night.
Kispert was ice cold. Suggs' early foul trouble again killed him. We know him out there, not out there for stretches of times. You know, probable top 5 lottery pick, could be the number 1 pick in the draft. And to not have him out there for significant stretches was damaging, even though he ended up with 22 points. But still.
But Suggs, I mean, they basically took him out of the game early on.
Absolutely. And he kind of took himself out of the game, too, with foul trouble.
Got the foul trouble. Joel Ayayi, only 8 points last night after he had the 22 against mm-hmm. UCLA. Played really well. He struggled last night.
And Timmy was effective, but he only took 7 shots.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, yeah, he's 5 of 7. It didn't really affect him when he got the ball, but getting him the ball seemed to be more difficult.
It was a struggle to get the pass, to do anything in the interior, get the ball in, you know, from the wing, from the point. Baylor's hands were active. Mm-hmm. They just did a great job of switching last night defensively. You know, Gonzaga tried to go to zone, and it seemed to work okay when they made that switch in the first half. But
it was like Baylor was playing with their legs, Gonzaga with their arms.
Very much so.
It just kind of felt that way in the first half, at least.
And look, can you play defense with your feet?
Yeah.
All right, who do we have on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
This is Jim.
Jim, good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, guys. And you?
Jim.
You know, we're on the right side of the grass.
I think you and I could be better, Jim, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But it looks like you're going to be... This is Jim from the contest, correct?
Yeah.
Jim, looks like you're going to be on... You're going to be a medalist, okay?
Yeah, you're on the podium somewhere.
You'll be on the podium, but it won't be first or second.
It'll be interesting. I looked this morning when I first got up, and the forecaster side or whoever that are doing it actually have me second, and I'm like, oh, that's not right. But the interesting thing is Diane and Josh both had the same tiebreaker score at 172, and I think the total was 156 last night. So that'll be fun and interesting. But I just wanted to call and give props to Baylor. I mean, holy crap. I didn't expect that at all. I mean, they looked great.
Yeah, they looked fantastic, especially in the first. They came out on fire. It was incredible to see them come out 9-0. What was it, 15-1 at one point, I think?
Yeah, when I turned it on, I turned it on a little late. It was 16-3, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? Really? And then, I mean, did Baylor miss a shot? I'm curious. I don't remember them missing anything last night, but it seemed like every three that they put up went down. I think, would they have 14 three-pointers go in last night? I mean, they were just, I think you're right. I think Gonzaga was just spent a little bit, not to detract from Baylor, but I mean, Baylor was just quicker. They were faster to the ball. You know, you guys are saying rebounds. They were just, I mean, Baylor just dominated that. And that, I think, probably even surprised some Baylor fans that knew that Baylor was going to win, but not in that way.
Yeah, early on, they were, 5-for-5 from three-point range. They finished 10-of-23 is the number I have and what they did last night. So it seemed like they hit a lot more, but boy, Gonzaga only had 5 threes last night, 5 made threes. But it seemed like every time Gonzaga would start to get a little momentum in that game, Baylor go down, hit a big three, force a turnover at the other end, and go down and then, you know, make it a little 5-0 spurt. Then they would add to that a little bit. I was just really impressed with the way Baylor played defensively last night. They were just all over the floor, and like I said, they're big guys, and they rotate, you know, Vital in that group in there. That, and Vital, you know, we air quote big guy because he's like 6'5", 6'6", but he's kind of a big body. And the work that I thought he did early on, getting on the offensive glass, giving them extra possessions, that was huge last night. It was demoralizing. You know, among the many things that were demoralizing Jim to Gonzaga last night was that, because they were supposed to have the edge up front with Drew Timmy, Kispert.
Right.
You know, Ayayi can get on the glass a little bit. I mean, they really, Baylor set the tone with what they're able to do offensively on the offensive glass last night, and obviously what they did on the defensive end. But, rough night, my fellow Jim, on the pick of Gonzaga for both of us.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was surprised even to be at the top. I mean, I don't put a whole lot of thought into it. I mean, I looked at some of the spreads and stuff, but I mean, you know, if I wouldn't have picked, you know, that one team in the first round, then I would have won by two. But you know, that's what I get. So, oh well, I'll never pick OSU again.
I tried to tell people.
I know. We both got suckered in. We thought, okay, Buckeye boys sandbagging us here. They're gonna. They're gonna be better than that. So well.
Yeah, I mean, they looked so good in the tournament, and I my brain beat my heart, and that's about all I have to say about that. I think the one other thing, just real quick before I go, because I'm sure you got to move on. I was really impressed, and you know, Baylor's defense was definitely there, but I can't remember watching, and I've watched quite a few Gonzaga games, can't remember when they turned the ball over as much as they did last night. And lots of credit to Baylor, but it seemed like, I don't know, there was like a spurt there where three or four times down the court they turned the ball over.
Well, in Gonzaga in the tournament, Jim, they averaged 11 or less turnovers a game. They had eight, like midway point of the first half last night. They finished last night with 14 turnovers.
That just blows me away, and that just shows you, you know, gives more credit to Baylor and their defense and the pressure and the speed that they put on Gonzaga. So, a little bit of a letdown from, you know, UCLA-Gonzaga, but still very impressive, you know, Baylor team last night, and congrats to them.
No doubt about it. Hey, Jim, thanks again for playing Bracketpalooza. Thanks for calling in today, sir.
Of course. Of course, you guys. Have a good day.
All right, you take care. Jim, like me, we're just...
Yeah.
We're downtrodden gyms today. Both pick Gonzaga. Both got... Oh!
Bamboozled by Ohio State, I tried to tell you.
I know.
But
I know.
He makes a point about the turnovers. Gonzaga had 14 turnovers to Baylor's 9. Gonzaga also had 22 rebounds total. That's how many defensive rebounds Baylor had.
Yeah.
It's
killed him on the glass last night.
They could not rebound on either side of the floor.
Offensive rebounds, 16-6.
Yeah.
In favor... 16-5 in favor of Baylor last night. So
22-17, 22-16, somewhere around there for defensive rebounds. They out-rebounded them just completely, totally, dominated them.
All right, so once again on Bracketpalooza, powered by Point S Tire and Grand Junction Chrysler, Dodge Jeep Ram. Keep in mind that none of this is official. Our promotions department will contact you about the whole thing. So, all right, we have a lot to get to today because the other big news... is that the All-Star Game, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, not official yet, but we expect this morning Major League Baseball to announce that the game is moving from Atlanta, Georgia, to Coors Field for that July 13th All-Star Game. So, our Qdoba question of the day today, brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill. It's always fresh, healthy, delicious. It's Double Points Tuesday, by the way, so make sure you get the app to track it. Are you going to go to Coors Field and get tickets? Because we don't know what capacity is going to be. Yet, we don't know where things will be July 13th in terms of COVID and how many people will be allowed into Coors Field. But if you can go, will you go to the All-Star Game? I want your thoughts on that today. You can text or call us 970-242-1340. Also today, I have to let you know about this because this is a little impromptu contest we put together with our good friends over at GJ Golf. Located over there by Mesa Mall by Fisher Liquor Barn. And the brand new ownership, folks that are passionate about the sport, stop by and see them today over there in Fisher's Plaza. You have a chance to win a Callaway Epic driver. And we're talking about a $600 driver. So what we're going to do is our GJ Golf Masters contest. How this will work, it's very simple. You pick your golfer who you think will win the Masters. And once that player's picked, and you send it in on the text line,
first
by the
come,
way.
First come, first serve.
You pick Dustin Johnson right now, you get Dustin Johnson.
Yep.
You know, whoever you want to pick, Jordan Spieth, you get that guy and that's it. And so if whoever texts in, you get those names, you get that golfer, one golfer per listener, okay? Mm-hmm. Once that golfer's taken, that golfer's gone.
Right.
We don't need scores, anything like that. Just whoever you pick, and they win it. And there's just the one fantastic prize, by the way.
Yes, absolutely.
The Callaway Epic Driver from GJ Golf, which is an amazing prize. Thank you again to GJ Golf. You'll win that Callaway Epic Driver. But the thing that's cool about this, too, you go to GJ Golf, and they will find the perfect Epic Driver for you. Tailored to your game.
Mm-hmm.
Experts there will suggest the perfect one for you. So you get the personal touch from GJ Golf as well, along with winning that really cool Callaway Epic driver. So right now, we're going to do this all morning long. You'll text in, you'll pick your golfer's name, and if somebody's taken, we'll fire you back a text saying, nope, got to pick somebody else. So starting now, you text in your golfer, and please put your, I know for a lot of you, we already have your name. But please put your first name, last name on your text for the and the golfer, of course, that you're selecting. So you can start doing that right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970 242-1340.
And already, Jeremiah needs a new golfer because Dustin Johnson first off the board to Andy.
So Dustin Johnson is gone. Phil Mickelson. Birdman taking Phil Mickelson. Very good. Collins got Justin Thomas. Bond. Jarrett Bond. Dustin Johnson. Sorry. Already gone.
Already gone.
Mr. Bond, yes. Pick somebody else. So Dustin Johnson off the board. So you can forget about him. Justin Thomas off the board.
Mm-hmm.
So get those texts in. Phil Mickelson off the board as well. So get those in today. Text. Now text in only on this, please. Okay.
Yes.
Text in your golfer. Please put your first name, last name on your text to 970-242-1340.
Taylor's got Jordan Spieth. Good. Early off the board.
Good call coming off the win in Texas.
Yeah.
So get those in. We'll do this today and tomorrow. And then after the 10 o'clock tomorrow, we'll be done with taking entrance into our GJ Golf Masters contest. So get those in now. Chance to win that Callaway Epic driver from GJ Golf.
Jordan Springs. Who's that guy? I don't know who that is even. Is that a real guy, Billy?
Is that a real guy? All right, 7:21, and it's time for...
What's happening?
All right, start things out with last night with the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Maybe their buzzer beater overtime whenever UCLA took too much out of them, or that Baylor's just that good, but the Gonzaga Men's Basketball team got drilled in Monday night's NCAA Championship game in Indianapolis. Baylor's Jared Butler. The Butler did it. He just scored 22 points to lead the Bears to an 86-71 over previously undefeated Gonzaga. Butler was also named the tournament's most outstanding player. The Bulldogs couldn't finish an undefeated season and trying to become the first team since Indiana in 1976 to go undefeated to win the title. With the win, Baylor gets their first ever men's national basketball championship. It looks like Atlanta's loss will be Colorado's gain with the expected announcement of Major League Baseball moving the summer's All-Star game to Coors Field. Multiple media outlets are reporting that MLB will announce the move this morning after deciding to remove the game from Atlanta in protest over Georgia's controversial voting law changes. Governor Jared Polis told the Denver Post the move would be good for baseball in the state. The Rockies have lobbied to host another All-Star game after only hosting one time back in 1998. The All-Star game is set for July 13th. The Rockies are at Coors Field tonight to take on Arizona. First game of that series, pregame at 6 tonight on the Team Sports Network. The Avalanche's winning streak is up to 5 straight after holding off the Wild 5-4 Monday night at Minnesota. Colorado's Nathan MacKinnon, Andre Burakovsky, Brandon Saad, JT Compher, and Gabe Landeskog all scored goals in the win as the Avs sit atop the West Division at 26-8-4. Colorado skates against the Wild again tomorrow night. You can hear that game on the team starting at 6:30. The Broncos are adjusting their season ticket prices after the league announced last week it would implement a 17-game regular season schedule. It means an extra home game for the Broncos, who will take on the Detroit Lions. In an email sent to season ticket holders, Broncos Vice President of Ticket Sales and Service Mark Jackson says, with the recent major announcement from the league, it is necessary to update our pricing to align with that adjustment. Prices get bumped up 6%, which makes a $103 ticket now $109, which averages about $55 extra a year per season ticket holder. The regular season schedule is expected to be released next month. The Colorado Mesa baseball team is now the number one team in the nation. The Mavs leaped over Tampa to take over the top spot in the collegiate baseball D2 ranking. CMU is 18-2, and they host Metro State in a series that starts this Friday. You can hear that game at 5:45 on the Team CMU Sports Network. The skipper, Chris Hanks, will join us this morning at 9:20 for Mav Day. Wabash Valley, Illinois is the new number one team in the latest NJCAA Division I baseball poll. Former number one Central Arizona slips to second, followed by Walter State, Tennessee, San Jacinto, North Texas, and Crowder College, Missouri. You can catch the Alpine Bank JUCO World Series this Memorial Day weekend on the Team Sports Network. Colorado Mesa lacrosse player Drew Eichelman is the RMAC Player of the Week. Eichelman scored 4 points with a goal and 3 assists in the 18th-ranked Mavs 13-12 overtime win over Colorado College. CMU plays at Adams State Friday and CSU Pueblo Saturday. CMU goalie Adelaine Charlson, is the RMAC Women's Defensive Player of the Week. Charlson had 18 saves in the Mavs' wins over Adams State and Fort Lewis. And yesterday, a trade in the NFL. For those of you who are hoping for the Broncos to maybe get Sam Darnold from the Jets, that's not happening. Darnold traded to the Carolina Panthers. So we'll get into that because that does have ramifications for the Broncos in regard to their quarterback position. So we'll get into that top of the 8 o'clock hour. All right, and that's a quick look this morning at...
What's happening?
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye boys. So today, We'll take your text for our GJ Golf Masters contest. You pick a golfer, and if you win, and we're doing this in through 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, by the way.
Yes.
Text line only, and please send us your text with your first and last name on it. And if a golfer gets selected, they're off the table.
Yes.
Andy grabbed Dustin Johnson early, so he's gone. Justin Thomas is gone.
Here's who's gone. Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, Jason Day, John Rahm, Lee Westwood, Bryson DeChambeau. Now, Colin has Justin Thomas. Taylor has Jordan Spieth. Billy picked Colin Morikawa. Jarrett Bond with Brooks Koepka. Kyle King took Jason Day. Brian, Fort Lewis College Raider, took John Rahm. Andrew in Grand Junction, Lee Westwood. And Mark Mayo took Bryson DeChambeau. And I'm trying to keep up on if somebody's off the board, I'm texting you back. So we're going to keep a running tally as we go along here.
And somebody's going to walk
away. Charlie Hoffman's off the board now.
So somebody's going to walk away with that Callaway Epic driver from GJ Golf. So get your golfer in this morning. And like Buckeye said, he will text you back if your golfer has been taken already. So send those in to us this morning. Plus, do you plan on going to the All-Star game? It's not official yet, but we expect it to be announced this morning that the All-Star game is moving to Denver, to Coors Field from Atlanta. So can get that into us today. I know Robertson had texted Brighton early this morning saying that we should apologize to Rob Manfred for all the mean things we've said to him since we're going to get the All-Star game.
Does that work for everybody? When we're proven right about things, do the mean things said to us get retracted?
Probably not.
Because that would be fantastic if we could figure out a way to make this happen.
He says if the team gave me $100 million, I'd take back every rotten thing I've said to the radio when the team is on the air. Well, number one, Robert.
Those are called standards.
We don't have $100 million to give you. And I'm going to venture a guess that the Buckeye Boy and myself probably, no offense to you, probably not going to put that in your pocket.
Not at the top of the list.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay if you said rotten things about us.
You know who's on the top of my list to give money to if I have $100 million?
Who's that?
Me.
That will same here.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No offense, Robert. We appreciate you listening.
I'm on the top of your list, or you're on the top of your list?
I'm on the top of my list. No, I'm echoing you that yes, I would be.
Yeah.
Yes, I would put myself at the top of that list. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to, look, no. Rob Manfred, what, you know, not going to get into all the politics of why the game's not going to be played in Georgia. Am I going to get into all that today. I'm glad it's coming to Coors Field. I'm not going to apologize to Rob Manfred. He's done a terrible job as baseball's commissioner just because he's bringing the All-Star game to Colorado, which the Rockies been lobbying to get another one for a long time anyway. That doesn't immediately make me go, Rob Manfred, you're a great guy and we're all good with you. He's not going to do that.
He's not the Messiah now because he's bringing...
Because he's at least doing... At least this is a good byproduct, right, of one of his decisions. Sorry, man, I'm not going to happen.
How it works.
Not going to happen.
This you, just
you and know, I have our problems with Rob Manfred as the commissioner of baseball.
And you know how much benefit the show personally and you and I get out of the All-Star? None.
No.
So that doesn't really change anything.
But it's great for the state, and I'm glad.
It's fantastic.
I'm glad for the people in Lodo. The bar owners down there, it's you know, attendance may not be what it normally is, but it's still going to be better and a chance to recoup some of the money that they lost from 2020. I'm all for that. I think that's fantastic. That doesn't mean, though, I'm going to give Rob Manfred a big, hey, you buddy, you're okay now with me.
Yeah.
He's done a poor job shepherding this game.
That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, that's not how that's going to work. That doesn't change... Well, because they got the All-Star game, all of a sudden we like Jeff Redditch now?
No.
Because he had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. All right, 729. But thank you, Robert, for the text. Thank you.
Bright and early.
Bright and early, 5:30 this morning. All right, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Text in today, 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
7:33. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. We expect to hear the announcement this morning from Major League Baseball that the All-Star Game will move to Coors Field. First time since 1998. Only time that Colorado has hosted an All-Star Game. Ken Griffey Jr., remember he hit the big day in the home run derby at the All-Star Game at Coors Field. So we're going to see that Coors Field hosting again.
Yes. Now, do All-Stars... Trevor Story, Nolan Arenado, DJ LeMahieu, do any of them play for the Rockies in this All-Star game? That's Trevor Story, essentially.
That'd be just Trevor Story.
Dude, is he a Rocky come All-Star break?
I'll say yes. I'll say yeah. They may have to realize that they've got to find a way to keep Trevor Story. They can't get rid of every All-Star caliber player that they
at
have.
At least through the All-Star break.
Yeah, at least, you know, maybe after that, who knows? But, yeah, I'll
Wright has traded him during the game.
I mean, how bad are the optics if you get rid of Trevor Story before the All-Star game?
Trade him during the home run derby.
And you're hosting the All-Star game, and you have really, well, outside of Charlie Blackman, you know, Trevor Story is their last big star.
Pretty much, yeah.
And what are the optics of him getting traded before Colorado hosts the All-Star game?
That would be bad.
Not bad. Or that'd be very bad. Not a good thing. Very, very bad. All right, so you still have plenty of time to get in your golfer for our GJ Golf Masters Contest, a chance to win a Callaway Epic driver from GJ Golf over there at Fisher's Plaza by Fisher Liquor Barn over by Mesa Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there, and they're going to help custom fit the club for you, the Epic driver for you. And so you text in a name of a golfer for the Masters. We're doing this through 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yes.
And so if a name has already been picked, that name is off the, you know, like Dustin Johnson, gone. Jordan Spieth, gone. Phil Mickelson, gone.
So here's who's gone.
Here's a tip. Don't put Tiger Woods down.
He's probably not going to win. I mean, you can select him if
you want. You can select him, but I'm going to say
probably not making the cut.
Yeah.
Here's who's off the board already. DJ, Phil, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, Jason Day, John Rahm, Lee Westwood, Bryson DeChambeau, noted French golfer, Charles Hoffman, Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland, Webb Simpson, Rory McIlroy, Paul Casey, Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler, Patrick Reed, and Sergio Garcia.
Okay,
Jeremy, Sergio was taken before you, so we need a third try from you.
Okay, so get those names into us, and please put your first name, last name on your text to 970-242-1340.
Especially, Chick-fil-A.
Breakfast team phone line.
If you're known by a nickname, like Birdman, I appreciate that, because I didn't actually remember your name. I've known you as Birdman for however long. So we appreciate you throwing the first and the last on there. If you go by a nickname.
Exactly, especially if we have a nickname. But everybody, just to make sure we've got your correct information, first name, last name, please send that in.
We have
with
like
your golfer.
Six marks, so a last name would be awesome.
Yes,
too.
Please, first name, last name, your name on those texts, okay? All right, 7:36. And we had, of course, the conclusion to the NCAA men's basketball tournament. It's been a season unlike any other for college basketball for both the men and the women. Stanford getting the win on Sunday night, and all was left was to crown a men's champion last night in Indianapolis. Jared Butler was phenomenal. 22 points, 6 of 14 shooting. Davion Mitchell, Macy O'Teague, they combined for 34 points, with Butler being named the tournament's most outstanding player. Mitchell made the all-tournament team along with Jalen Suggs and Drew Timmy of Gonzaga, Johnny Juzang of UCLA also making that team. But it was really not even close last night. Bears winning their first national title in program history. Their first title game since the late 40s, by the way.
Wow.
And they crushed Gonzaga last night, 86-70. Here is Westwood 1 right here on the Team Sports Network on the final call of last night's national championship game.
Steal for Mark Patterson, and Patterson will put the brakes on and dribble this one out. And the Baylor Bears do indeed bear down to knock off the unbeaten Gonzaga Bulldogs and claim the school's first men's basketball championship and just the second men's basketball title in the history of the state of Texas. Baylor 86, Gonzaga 70. Wire to wire winner.
And it wasn't even that close, to be quite honest. That clip courtesy of Westwood One. Baylor, they finished 27-2. And we'll talk with Wyatt Thompson coming up in a couple of minutes. Our college basketball insider, of course, works the Big 12. They're going to be good again. Macy Oteague, Mark Patterson, and Mark Vidal. Those are the three seniors they lose. I mean, Teague's a big loss.
Yeah.
Vidal was vital last night in terms of getting on the glass, 11 rebounds. But the Scott Drew, the cupboard will not be bare.
No.
For a run in, you know, this next season, 2021-2022, for the Baylor Bears.
No, it won't. And they're not even the favorites this morning on the board in Vegas to win, to repeat. It's the team they just beat.
Gonzaga.
Yeah, which I don't get because Drew, they're going to lose their best player. They're going to probably lose Drew Timmy, maybe.
What I was hearing, Timmy's a sophomore.
Is he coming back?
Talk about he's most likely going to come back.
I know. I was listening to the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, and we've talked to Tom Hudson the last few weeks about Drew Timmy, but Wally Zerbiak says Drew Timmy is the smartest college basketball player in the country right now. Just the way he sees the floor and the way he plays the game.
His footwork, his positioning.
Yeah, it might be sell high time for Drew Timmy, too. You never know.
It could be. But he also might feel like that maybe he can up his stock by coming back for another year at Gonzaga, too.
Yeah, it's a lot different than football.
All right, so congratulations to Baylor on the win last night. You also had the Avalanche on the ice last night. The Avalanche getting the 5-4 win. Nathan MacKinnon with a goal last night. Andre Burakovsky, Brandon Saad, and JT Compher, and the captain, Gabe Landeskog, all scoring goals last night. Avalanche are now 26-8-4. They lead the West. And for Colorado, they've won. They're looking for a back-to-back sweep of the Wild. Coming up tomorrow right here on the team. Last of 8 regular season meetings. So we're getting down to the end of the season.
Yeah, nitty-gritty is what they call it, right?
Exactly. Be the nitty-gritty. Well put. Here's Jared Bednar on the Avs, win of the Wild last night.
We knew that we had to be better and that we could be better, and the guys went out and executed at a high tempo for the second period. And we were, I think the power plays at that time, maybe even at the end of the second, were 5-0 or 4-0. And we weren't earning opportunities on the power play. And we were taking some penalties, some stick penalties where we weren't skating the check. So we knew we had to be disciplined too. It didn't get much better in the third, but the power play did get an opportunity and scored a huge goal to give us some breathing room again midway through the second or through the third.
All right. There's Jared Bednar, coach of the Avalanche. The Burakovsky Kadri sideline has been really picking it up, contributing offensively lately. But the Avalanche will get the Wild again tomorrow night. We'll have it right here on the team pregame at 6:30 for that one. All right, it's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, this got me a little bit last night. You know, the good production, the narration, I'm all in on that sort of thing. It gets a little dusty, a little misty in the living room at times with some of these things. John Hamm. Who knew that there's still a thing if John Hamm was still a thing? He did the intro for the Final Four last night. Did you catch it?
Yes, I did.
Very, very well
done. Did you
catch
the first responders that sang the national anthem last night?
Yes, I did. And also,
all Indianapolis area first responders, which
also very misty.
That got Kendon and myself very
chopping some
up.
Onions in the house by myself. But yeah, so John Hamm did the intro, which was very well done, I thought. And here's the nuts and bolts in 90 seconds.
Okay, I know exactly what you're thinking right now. Here I am, some Hollywood guy standing on an empty street in Indianapolis, talking to you about these unprecedented times and a basketball season and tournament unlike any other, and that you should watch this game tonight because it'll be different. But I'm not here to sell you on any of that because it's simply not true. Not tonight. In fact, tonight, the only surprise may be that it'll be just like it's always been. Let me explain. Does anyone remember how many fans were at this game in 1982? When this happened, what songs were the school bands playing that night? Does it matter? And then there's this. Do you even know what stadium that was? You probably don't. You know why? Because on this night, what history remembers is them. Unprecedented times. Yeah. I mean, look at me. In any other year, I'd be doing this from the Final Four. But I'm not. I'm here in L.A. on a soundstage, doing what many of you at home are doing. Adjusting to these times. Finding new ways to make it work. So yes, this year has been different. This tournament's been different. But tonight, tonight's not about any of that. Tonight is about them and the history that they make.
That's pretty well done.
Fantastic. John Hamm, great job. All right, 7:44, Wyatt Thompson, our college basketball insider, joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. 7:47, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, and joining us right now, our college basketball insider, Wyatt Thompson. Wyatt, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you, sir?
Doing fine. You get to see Baylor quite a bit. Any surprise about what you saw last night against Gonzaga?
No, not really. What you saw last night is what I believe that we saw out of Baylor most of the year. Really a dominating team at both ends of the floor. I thought there was a moment last night where Grant Hill nailed it when he said, this is a team that has so many pieces, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he made reference to the team having at least 3-point guards who were high-level players, and I think that at the end of the day is kind of what sets them apart. And they're not just scorers, they're drivers, they're defensive gems, pretty special team at the end of the day. I've reflected a lot since last night about how, you know, I've seen a lot of Big 12 basketball in my day dating back to 2002, and they're a terrific team. With that said, I think Gonzaga is too, but for 40 minutes last night, it was pretty clear who was the better team.
How much do you think the overtime win, the emotional win for Gonzaga over UCLA, even though they had Sunday to rest up and then played Monday night, how much of an impact do you think that had on the performance last night?
Well, I think it had some, and I'll give you an example that I've experienced personally. Several years ago, I believe it was 2008, we were in the regionals in Salt Lake City, and in the semis played one of the most magnificent games that I've ever been a part of, a double overtime victory against Xavier. Basically, a day and a half later, we're playing Butler in the regional finals. And there's no doubt in my mind that there was carryover from the extra minutes, the extra emotion, the lack of rest. Again, I'm not making excuses in any way, shape, or form, but I felt like, and this is just my take only, I felt like Gonzaga wasn't really cut in like they normally are to start the game, and boy, did it cost them. You just, in a game of that magnitude, or any really, against a team like Baylor, it's so hard to get down, you know, whatever score you want to say, 9-0, 29-10, or whatever it was. You just can't overcome that against a team like that. You just can't.
Wyatt Thompson with us today on the Jim Davis Show on The Team. I thought for them, I mean, and Mark Vidal, you look at the numbers, he only had 6 points, but he had 11 rebounds, and he had a ton of offensive rebounds early on. I thought, you know, their defense was phenomenal. Three-point shooting was fantastic early on in that game. But I thought Mark Vidal gave the we expected Gonzaga with Drew Timmy and Kispert to be better up front. We thought that's where they would have the advantage, where Baylor had the advantage in the backcourt. But Mark Vidal, I thought, was huge in getting on the glass. They got to every offensive rebound, it seemed, early on. And he played a big role on that early on for Baylor to get off to the kind of offensive start they did.
From my perspective, that's a brilliant point, and here's why. I will remind your listeners at this point that Gonzaga scored a bunch of points again last night and shot 51% and lost by whatever it was, 16. That's crazy. But when you really look at it, and I think you're right on task, because what Vital have, like four offensive rebounds in the game's first 5 or 6
yeah.
minutes? I mean, he set the tone. I don't think it was just him. I said on a local show here yesterday afternoon, for Baylor to win the game, it was those big three, the big guys that had to really play special, or at least to their capabilities, and that, of course, is Vital, obviously, Flo Thamba, and then Jonathan Chamwechachua, and I thought all did. And when you combine that with those guards, they're amazing. So at the end of the day, 16 offensive rebounds and 16 second-chance points, there's your game in my mind.
Wyatt Thompson with us this morning, talking about last night's national championship game. And for Baylor, look, they'll lose three players. One of those is Macy O'Teague, but the Butler will be back. Jared Butler, you know, 22 points last night, tournament's most outstanding player. That Scott Drew is certainly in good position to make another deep run in next year's NCAA tournament.
Well, there are some that would say to you that he won't be back, and I would probably be one of those guys.
Well, we'll say maybe. However, possibly he could come back.
Yes. Yeah, and I get your point, though. He's a special, special talent. I've been covering this league, as I said, since 2002. I mean this as sincerely as I can say it. In terms of just his natural ability to shoot the ball, he's as good as most. And we've had some dudes in this league now. Lace Darius Dunn of Baylor from a few years ago comes to mind. And, of course, you can name whoever you want from Kansas, but and others. Kevin Durant, I mean, you get the point, but he's special. Here's what I would remind fans that think that if they think that Baylor is going to just go away after this wave, they have a 5-star center, a 4-star wing, and a 4-star guard coming in next year, plus another transfer who has set out. Even if Butler goes, I'm just here to tell you, they will be dynamite again. Will they be as special as this group? Maybe not. I think what I'll look at down the road is, even through 21 days of pause because of COVID, other than a couple of games, they were as dominant as any Big 12 team that I've seen in my time covering the league.
How bad do you feel for Mark Few? I mean, he's been to two national championship games now. I mean, they had a sensational season, and I think why, if you go out and lose last night, maybe the way UCLA lost to Gonzaga, it still hurts, but you can live with it a little bit. That's a tough way to lose last night, to just get really ran off the floor.
Yeah, and again, I this has been said, but I'll repeat it. There is probably not a better guy coaching in major college basketball than Mark Few. Our coach will tell you that. Scott Drew will tell you that. There are many that will say he's a better person than he is a coach. And I'll remind people that you want to talk about the rebuild at Baylor that Scott Drew has done. I get it. One of the special things in the history of sports. But for Gonzaga basketball, they had been to two NCAA tournaments before Few showed up there, if memory serves me correctly. They've been to 22 straight in his time there. And he's taken this to a totally different level now, too. They have a high-level player or two coming in for next year to fill some void. They'll be back. Some have said, will he have a better chance to win a national title? Maybe or maybe not, but I'll say this. I think he's good enough. I'm not counting him out. I'm just not. They've got too many weapons, and they recruit nationally and internationally. They're here to stay. And I do feel for them, though. They have... I'm just being honest as I can be, man. They have a really fun team to watch. I really enjoyed watching them.
Hey, Wyatt, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for the insight today.
You bet, bud. Great talking to you, Jim.
Take care. Wyatt Thompson, voice Kansas State Wildcats, our college basketball insider. Some thoughts on last night's national championship game.